Time now to go back to the hotline, and we send it out to Los Angeles, where apparently it is raining right now, as we bring in our Hollywood insider, Al Harris. Al, how are you, my man?
I'm great. I feel like this is the one time where I can't brag about the weather when talking to you.
Well, you could brag a little. I mean, it's actually better now than it was a week ago. We're at least into double digits, and we're near freezing again, which is nice because we weren't there last week. But I would take the rain that you have right now probably over what we've got outside, although Matt Douglas might disagree because he hates rain.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the rain.
I hate rain, too, but you know what? We've had a little bit of a drought, and it's finally these fires might be able to be extinguished, so that's a good thing, but...
Yes.
Very optimistic approach.
Yeah, I still can't stand it, but you know.
Understood.
For the greater good.
Yes, yes, for the greater good indeed. Well, we were hoping to have you on here to get your thoughts on the Golden Globes. I mean, to take the political aspect out of this, and it's hard to do at a lot of these award shows anymore, I realize that, but if we're to focus on the winners of this event, were there any major surprises or any general thoughts, anything that stood out to you that was kind of surprising?
Well, my biggest surprise is the fact that now Oprah's running for president. But like you said, politics aside, there were a couple. I really thought Three Billboards, I didn't think it was going to win. I thought Shape of Water would have won or Call Me by Your Name. And with them winning, I think that puts them in the driver's seat for the Academy Awards, which, if you had asked me a while back, I never would have guessed that. Guillermo del Toro winning Best Director, I think, was great. And I think that will also show for the Academy Awards. I think he's probably the front runner for that. And I think the acting categories, obviously, they split them up. But I think, as of now, I wouldn't be surprised. I think McDormand's going to win Best Actress. I think Gary Oldman's going to win Best Actor. I've thought that for a while. So the fact that they both won the Golden Globe doesn't shock me. Same with the supporting categories. Allison Janney and Sam Rockwell have been the favorites for the Academy Awards. And they won the Golden Globe. So to me, that's not shocking. I think what is going to be shocking or surprising, and I know you said politics aside, but like we said, it's impossible, especially the way the Globes have gone, is I'm the Best Director nominee. You know, Natalie Portman made that comment about it being the all-male nominees, you know? And I'll be very surprised if it's all-male nominees come Academy Awards, because there's, or at least all-white male nominees. I think there's three people really on the periphery that I thought were going to make it to the Academy, at least one of them would make it to the Academies anyway, so I don't think Ridley Scott will get a nomination for Academy Award. That seems to be more of like the foreign press really likes Ridley Scott. So I think you'll see either Jordan Peele for Get Out or Greta Gerwig from Lady Bird get into the discussion for Best Director. And then Dee Reese, who did Mudbound, is kind of an outsider pick. But I would be very surprised to see it being all five white male nominees for Best Director, especially with her making that comment. And then when Barbara Streisand was up talking about how she was the only Golden Globe Best Director nominee or Best Director winner that has been a female in the entire history of Golden Globes.
Wow.
So that definitely puts the onus on the Academy to do something to change that. And normally, you know, again, don't want to talk too much about politics. I totally understand that argument, and I definitely think it should change. I also think it needs to be a movie that's worth being nominated for. Like, I heard rumors of Patty Jenkins for Wonder Woman. I don't think that deserves. It was a good movie, but I don't think at this point a superhero movie deserves a Best Picture or Best Director nominee. But that being said, I do believe that all three of the people I said originally, Dee Reese, Greta Gerwig, Jordan Peele, all do deserve a nomination. All three of those movies were phenomenal. So I wouldn't be surprised. If I was going to put my money on it, I would say Greta Gerwig will be the one to break in.
Interesting you mentioned The Shape of Water, because we keep hearing a lot about this. If I'm not mistaken, Al, I think it was last week or maybe it was the week before when we had you on, you had mentioned that you had just gotten done watching this and you were very, very impressed. What was it about The Shape of Water that blew you away and made it so good?
Well, I think it was a couple weeks ago I said that, and last week you asked my top five favorite movies, and I picked that second. For me, it's a movie for people who love cinema. And Guillermo del Toro is a director who obviously loves cinema. He grew up with monster movies and has always been intrigued by monster movies. And he said he wanted to make kind of an homage to the Creature of the Black Lagoon, and that's what it is. And it's just really almost like perfectly directed, well done. It has the homages to old cinema, but it also feels new and fresh. It takes place in the 40s, but it feels timeless. Just the dream sequences, the use of color. I don't want to get too spoilery, but there's like, you know, it's a love story, and it feels like a love story without being like a rom-com. Like it shows love in a way that you don't see, because it's about this mute woman who falls in love with a, you know, sea creature. But the way they do it, and it just makes it so believable, and by adding the tension with the Cold War and everything else, it's just really spot on and perfect, and just a throwback movie that they don't make anymore. And a lot of my friends and people in the industry that I've talked to that, you know, are huge movie buffs, and the reason they got in the industry was because of films, all love this movie because it speaks to that when a lot of films don't do that anymore.
Al, explain to me why they have the grouping of movies in the awards, the Golden Globes particularly, where musical, comedy, and even horror kind of got thrown into that with Get Out this year. Why does that become one group instead of three different groups?
I don't know, and I agree with that. I think I like the fact that they split it up into comedy, musical, and drama, but mm-hmm. I think maybe they could do more, because, horror never gets, you know.
And I get it. There's a lot of bad horror movies out there, but there's got to be one that's better than the others.
Well, this year, too, it was great, or mm-hmm. I haven't seen it, but I've heard it was great. Get Out was great. There's a few other I'm missing that I really enjoyed. But to me, Get Out, first of all, if you're going to do the comedy, musical, and drama categories, how Get Out is a comedy and Three Billboards is not blows my mind. Yeah. Three Billboards, I laughed the entire movie. I think Get Out, I laughed like twice. They both have, like, you know, the racial tension themes with there. But yes, I think they're complete opposite. I don't get that. So if you're going to do the categories, do it right, which blew my mind. But yeah, wouldn't mind seeing that. You already have the animated category. If there was like a horror or like, you know, a musical or like something more, like really spread it out.
Sure.
And to me, I don't need the TV nominees for the Golden Globe. I know they do everything. But to me, when you asked me, I didn't mention the TV categories at all, because to me, we just had the Emmys and it's the same awards. So I'd rather much something that like precursors the Academy than kind of like a rehash of what the Emmys was.
Al Harris, our Hollywood Insider, is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I have to ask you about this, and if you've brought this up before and I totally forgot about it, my deepest apologies. I had heard about this Netflix show called Friends from College. First of all, I didn't know Fred Savage was still around, but he's excellent in this. He's hilarious.
Where did you think he went?
In this. I thought he was just done acting. I hadn't seen him in so long. I didn't know where he went.
He's been doing a bunch of directing.
I guess you could say I wondered where he went.
He directed a couple episodes of It's Always Sunny. I remember that.
Well, that's the one thing. Fred Savage has become one of the top sitcom TV directors out right now.
This?
And he kind of transitioned to that. And so Friends with College was his first kind of acting thing, like full-time acting thing. He's done some cameos in the stuff he's directed. Like, he directed a few episodes of Happy Endings, and he was in one of those episodes. But this was, like, his first time coming back as an actor. Keegan-Michael Key is in it as well. And Colby Smulders has a great cast. Bull, I know you told me you really enjoyed it.
I get the sense you didn't.
I have not seen it. And I have not seen it because everything I heard was that it wasn't good. But if you're going to tell me otherwise, and might I add, the only person who told me otherwise, I might have to give it a shot.
It is hilarious. There are some let me put it to you this way. Not every episode is a home run. There are some that are okay. I wouldn't say that there are any episodes I've seen that flat out stink. At least every episode I've seen has at least been all right. There are a couple of slam dunks. There are some really good episodes. I mean, it had me falling out of my chair laughing at a few of these scenes. There are some that are terrific. So if you check any one of these out, and again, if you haven't seen it yet, check it out on Netflix. Check out the episode where they are doing a winery tour. Oh, you'll laugh the entire episode. It's great, great stuff. I'm just curious because, again, it's got some stars in there.
The biggest criticism about that show was that it was kind of like cynical and kind of like mean-spirited. So I don't know if that's the way you saw it, like too much so. But
we're jerks, so maybe we just ignore that part.
It's entirely possible. Mm-hmm. I found a great deal of humor in that. I don't know. You know, when I'm searching for these things, I'm looking for a reason to laugh. You know what I mean? I don't want to go down a deep, dark road. If I watch something like this, I want to laugh. And I felt like that's one of the few shows I could go to on Netflix that would routinely make me laugh. And that's why I went down this road, because I thought it was hilarious. Again, I had almost entirely forgotten about Fred Savage, only to find out his character, this is hysterical. It's actually very, very good. I think, you know, knowing you the way that I do, I feel like this is something that you would not mind. I think it's, you know, it's got some weird sophomoric humor in there, but it's funny, though. I think it's hilarious.
I am a very cynical person, so maybe I will check it out. And like you said, it's nice because most comedies out now, or at least the ones being pushed as comedies, like your Louis, your Master of Nuns, your Better Things, aren't really that funny, you know? They're comedic in nature, but it's more of like they're kind of serious comedies. So if I can just watch something to make me laugh, I'm always in for it. So I'll check that out, Bull.
Okay. Well, yeah, see, I figured based on that recommendation, you might like it. You're one of the first guys I thought of as we were watching that the other day. I figured this would be something I feel like Al would really like. But again, when you watch it, just keep in mind, every episode is not a slam dunk. Some are just okay, but there are a few episodes that are out of this world hilarious. So it's something I think you'd enjoy. All right, my man. Let's get into our picks to click. I feel like this is a really good time of the year for television. You have a lot of series returning, some really interesting things coming up. What should we be watching for this week?
Well, for me, and I've only read one review, and the one review I read wasn't great, but it's one review, so I'm going to keep an open mind to it because I'm excited for it. Basically, I want to say pretty sure it's Hulu. It could be Amazon, so I'm sorry if I get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's on Hulu. It's basically Hulu's answer to Netflix's Black Mirror. It's a 10-episode run. It's called Philip K. Dick. Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams or something along that line. And for those that don't know, Philip K. Dick is the guy, very famous sci-fi writer, who wrote the short stories that Blade Runner, Minority Report, Scanner Darkly, and a few more were based after. So he's one of the most influential science fiction writers. So basically it's 10 one-hour episodes based on his stories, sci-fi, dark sci-fi. So I'm intrigued. I'm not a huge fan of Black Mirror, but I've enjoyed some of it. And I like the concept of it more than I do the actual, you know, execution of it. So that's why I'm really excited for this one. And it's got a knockout cast. I'm forgetting a lot of the names, but definitely Bryan Cranston's in it, Steve Buscemi. So I'm in for it. Hopefully it's better than that one review I read, and I'm excited for it, and that comes out on Friday.
Very cool stuff, my man. Well, we appreciate you joining us. Make sure you've got your poncho and your umbrella, and make sure you stay dry out on the West Coast, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
And now that I'm not going out the rest of the day, maybe I'll watch Friends of College today.
Ah, see, I think you'll like it. Shoot me a text later tonight. Let me know what you think.
I will. Have a good one.
Thanks, Al. Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.